Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with my co-host, Donnie Hoover. It's just the two of us today. Donnie, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just enjoying the raindrops I hear on the roof above me, and going to put me to sleep if I keep going.
Yeah, I'm hearing a few myself. You know, us being in Ohio, you know, we are the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and after some news we got today, it's more horror than wrestle. Donnie?
Mm-hmm. That's for daggone sure.
What came across today?
I mean, well, first off, like I said, this past weekend was kind of up and down, had its ups and downs. I got to hang out with the family a little bit. I got to spend a bunch of time in the basement office here in the studio getting some podcast work done. But in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, you know, about July 31st and August 1st was this past weekend, this Friday and Saturday, and that's when we should have been at the fair, the Ohio State Fair. And, of course, that got canceled. And so I was kind of bummed about that for a lot of the weekend. But, and then today, August 1st, which was Saturday, I believe, and we got the director's order from the Ohio Department of Health, and this only pertains to Ohio, what we're going to talk about today. This doesn't pertain to any other states. And but the Ohio Department of Health sent out a director's order updated for, you know, to talk about sports, contact sports, non-contact sports, and what we're allowed to do, not allowed to do. And we've been kind of hoping, we kind of knew in the back of our minds it wasn't going to be good news, but we've been kind of hoping that something would happen where they'd start allowing contact sports again here in Ohio. And that doesn't seem to be the case. So I was just going to, you know, talk with you and, you know, talk about it and get it out there. What I think this director's order is 11 pages, but a lot of it doesn't pertain to us. So I was just going to kind of touch on the stuff that does pertain to the professional wrestling industry in Ohio and just get it out there and go from there.
Well, you know, it's disheartening. It really is. And I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you cover it, but you know, things like, you know, that you mentioned that the Ohio State Fair, which should have been this past weekend, There should have been some great shows with New Ohio Wrestling.
Yep. Going to do four shows in 2 days.
Right. And your premier ring announcer with his red shoes, he still hasn't got a chance to wear them.
Right.
no offense, JR Judy, but I'm bucking for top job here. It's hard, you know. I mean, and again, you said this pertains specifically to Ohio because I know wrestling is going on in other states, but not in our state. And it really is. It's disappointing, you know. This past Friday, I was at the Future Great Wrestling Arena, and they weren't having a wrestling show, but they had a variety show. They took down the ring ropes. And wrestlers were getting up and performing some of their talents. We had stories from Cody Hawk and Big John Murray. We had singing from Shauna Reed. We had a couple of wrestlers that were doing the comedy bits, including Justin Dream and Tricky Dicky Mavis. I think that's his name. All entertaining, and they ended it up with a great musical ending. They were playing songs like Smoke on the Water, their Wipeout. They had people like they had referee Glenn Young playing guitar, his son playing lead guitar. They had Harley Fairfax playing bass. They had Ryan Wild playing drums, and he's quite a good drummer because he was able to do Wipeout, and that's not an easy song to do.
All right, nice.
They had Ricky Glam up there singing and playing bass. It was a great show. It was in the ring, but it wasn't wrestling. They showed some other of their other talents. And they're just trying to keep their arena open, you know.
Yeah.
They've got rent to pay, and they did it in spades because it was sold out. Social distancing was in effect.
Right.
But it was a sold-out show and really great. And, you know, people are trying to do what they can to keep making money. But, you know, all these other states are opening things up and Ohio has chosen not to do so. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's subjective.
Right. Yep. It just depends on how you look at it. It's a good thing because it's protecting people and keeping them away and helping slow the spread of the corona virus. But on the other hand, you know, people's losing a lot of money, not being able to run their events. You know, they're doing FGW is doing a variety show to try to help pay the bills on their building. You know, we're fortunate enough in a bad way that we don't have a building, so we don't have all that overhead, but we had a nice payday, you know, set up for this weekend, and a lot of people are going to get paid some good money, and that got, you know, pulled out from under us. So I mean, it's good and bad. You know, it just depends on whatever side of the fence you want to be on.
Right. And, you know, it's disappointing not only for the wrestlers, but of course for the promoters like Donnie. And Donnie's just one of many promoters in the state of Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of us.
Yeah, that can't run any shows. I mean, Tom Williams up at War Wrestling, he can't run any shows. I mean, and was it Dirk Cunningham down in Portsmouth, he can't run any shows, RCW.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hurts. And not only that, but talent, you know, some of this talent, they're not making any money because there's no shows being run in Ohio.
Right, yeah.
So they're, you know, they're hawking their wares however they can. They're trying to sell merch, you know, trying to do things to make ends meet. But all of this comes back to the COVID. I mean, and we've got to stem the spread of this. And if the state decrees that, you know, we've got to wear masks, why is that so hard? Put a mask on.
Yep.
Help us bring back all contact sports quicker by slowing the spread of the corona. It is very simple.
Yep.
But Donnie, I mean, what all does this report say? Does it give a timeline, anything like that?
It doesn't give a timeline. That's the bad thing. Like I said, I'm just going to touch on some key points, I think, that pertains to wrestling. It's, you know, and like I said, it's a director's order, so I hope it's not too boring for people, but I think it'll interest the Ohio, you know, people. And, but if there's one good thing that comes out of this, it's that contact practice and training may resume for all sports. So, which means when it pertains to pro wrestling, which means all, if you have a training center, then you can, you know, continue to train and do your school, run your schools. There is going to be a lot of rules with that. And we won't get into a bunch of those. I'll touch on some, but they're going to be real picky on the rules of like sanitizing, being, you know, social distancing. No, you know, the contact practice can resume, but, you know, there's a lot of guidelines that they have to go by. And what I mean by contact sports is, for what they're considering contact sports in Ohio, is football, basketball, rugby, field hockey, soccer, lacrosse, wrestling, hockey, boxing, futsal, and martial arts with opponents. That's what they're considering contact sports. So any of that is not permitted at this time, but they're allowing practice. And they're not saying how long this is going to last. They're not saying when this ends. This is actually, I believe, the third time it's been restructured. So, and updated. So, you know, who knows how long this is going to last. We're all pretty much in the promoter side is pretty much already counting our chickens that we're not going to be running events for the rest of the year, as far as we can tell. And because when they do open up the doors and say we're allowed to run again, there's going to be so many restrictions that we're not going to be able to financially do it. It's not going to make financial sense. And we'll touch on some of those too. Let me see, what's another thing? Yeah, like they got the social distancing requirements, obviously, the 6-foot social distancing, washing hands with soap, water, hand sanitizer, regularly clean the high touching surfaces, don't shake hands, and you know, just the stuff you hear every day. That's in the order, and they want us to maintain that and keep doing that. And they're also saying, if you're in a facility and they want you to post online, it says posting online whether a facility is open and how to best reach the facility. So, I mean, yeah, they want people to keep everybody updated on what's open, what's not. And, you know, they list a checklist here for contact sports practices and even non-contact sport competitions. If it's a non-contact sport, apparently they're allowed to still do their competitions and all that. This is mainly, you know, we're talking contact, which is what wrestling falls under. And
just slightly.
Here in the director's order, it says players, coaches, athletic trainers, and officials must conduct daily symptom assessments, which means, like, if you're training, or you know, which we can't run live events, so just, you know, if you're training, you have to maintain, just like if you was working at a job, you gotta, you know, conduct your daily assessments, make sure you're not showing any of the signs before you can go to that training and practice, is what they're recommending. And yeah, a lot of these are just their recommendations, but, you know, that's in the director's order, so I'm sure that's kind of what they want us to do. Right. It says athletic trainers must wear a face covering when attending to an injured player. So it would be like if somebody gets hurt in the ring during training and you tend to them, you have to wear a mask. But they're also recommending that it says coaches, athletic trainers, officials should wear face coverings at all times. And players should wear face coverings when not on the field or court of play, except for one of the following reasons. And then they list, you know, the prohibited by law, or, you know, if it's in a setting prohibited by law, violation of documented industry standards, health reasons, safety policies, you know, and just stuff like that is the reasons where they say except for the following measures. But, you know, what this is saying is, you know, they want coaches, trainers, everybody to wear face mask at all times when doing the training. And if you're not in the ring, is what I'm saying. If you're not in the ring and you're not doing your drills, then you should be wearing a face mask as well and keeping it covered up. And I'm just bearing with me here. I'm just going down the list. It says, it is recommended that if possible, ask a parent/volunteer to help monitor/ensure social distancing on teams of young children. So I don't think that pertains to us too much, but I mean, yeah, they're basically saying, like, you know, hey, if you got a volunteer, can watch over the room to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, you know, basically a babysitter, so to speak. So that's what that looks like. That sounds like. And then now they're talking about spectators, and like I said, we can't run live events, but so when we do, I'm sure these rules are going to start to apply to the wrestling promotions. And it says spectators must conduct daily symptom assessments, just like, you know, everyone else. And it says if they experience the symptoms that they're not supposed to attend. But if you put a situation in where we're running a wrestling event and a fan wants to come to the show and they bought their ticket, if they show symptoms, they're not going to say, oh, I can't go. You know, they're still going to go to the show. So, I mean, yeah, I don't, that's kind of, I mean, I know why they put it in there, but I know that's not going to happen. 6 feet social distancing maintained between individuals. You know, like I said, a lot of this is just repetitive. They're saying no congregating before or after practices or games is permitted. So, and that's listed under the spectators. So, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about tailgating, but this would also pertain, in my opinion, this would pertain to like wrestling training. Cause I know when we trained, you know, we would all sit around and shoot the shit after training or before. So they're saying, don't do that. And, you know, just like I said, a lot of just nitpicky rules. And, let me see, what else do they have? Practice game tournaments, yes, same thing, social distance. It says limit the time spent on activities where players are in close proximity for extended periods of time, especially repeatedly practicing corner or penalty kicks in soccer or rebounding drills in basketballs, for example. So basically this is if you're doing drills for wrestling training, they don't want, like, if you got a group of six running drills in the ring, to do it for a limited or extended period of time. You know, maybe you know, shorten it down to a couple people at a time in there, get your drills ran, you know, as long as they're apart from each other, and you know, get it, you know, done that way. Yeah, facility has to maintain adequate space for social distancing. No congregating before or after games. Says whenever possible, equipment and personal items should have proper separation and should not be shared. If the equipment must be shared, proper sanitation should be performed between users. And this again, you know, goes to, like, for pertaining to wrestling. Just like I know Pennsylvania has a rule in their law that for now, when they're running wrestling events, after every match, they have to sanitize the ring and around ringside. And so that's what this is meaning. Like for Ohio in training, they're wanting, you know, if you got a couple people in there running the ropes or doing drop down step overs where there's no contact, whatever the case is, that when the next people are supposed to go in the ring, they are technically supposed to sanitize the ring and the area surrounding, which, I mean, is kind of redundant and ridiculous in my opinion, but I mean, you know, if that's what they want, you know what I mean? It's just, like I said, they're just, I don't know, they just got a stranglehold on us, and it's upsetting a lot of promoters in Ohio, and I, you know, like I said, I'm one, and I understand why everybody's upset.
Well, you know, I got to say, Donnie, I was watching Impact Wrestling Slammiversary recently. Mm-hmm. And they did the same thing. After every match, they sanitized the ring. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had like four people out there wiping down the ropes, wiping down everything they could before the next match started.
Yep.
Does it help? It can't hurt.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, the whole thing here is – and I'm hoping that a vaccine shows up soon, mm-hmm. a viable vaccine. Because if a viable vaccine for this is marketable and is proven, then everything can go back to normal. People get vaccinated, and we're back in the mix again. But we can't completely rely on that right now.
Yeah.
We've got to keep doing what needs to be done to keep the spread from happening. And, you know, contact sports, I mean, I hate to side with the state, but as much as I hate it, mm-hmm. they're just trying to take care of us.
Right, yeah. And like I said, even if they do open up professional wrestling, or if they open up contact sports in general,
right.
Professional wrestling is going to struggle in Ohio.
It is.
of all the guidelines and stuff that they have that we have to abide by and follow. I mean, like I said, the bigger leagues like Impact and all those guys, you know, they have the backing and the funding to bring on more people to help and right. to pay for all the stuff that needs paid for. But, you know, the smaller independents around the country, you know, especially, well, Ohio, being that that's what we're discussing, right. you know, they don't have the money. Like the big thing that stuck out for me here is it's a checklist for the inter-team contact sports competitions. So, mm-hmm. you know, even if we were allowed to run events, one of the things is it says a COVID-19 test must be administered to each athlete and team staff member participating in the competition no more than 72 hours prior to the start of the competition, and the results must be in hand prior to the start of the competition. So if a promotion was to run an event, that means every wrestler would have to have a COVID test done, every, you know, referee, every valet or manager, every, you know, person of the ring crew, the announcers, you know, like everybody involved would have to have a COVID-19 test done. And that's, you know, not going to be cheap. You know, that's going to be a pretty penny that they're going to have to pay out for that. And so that, you know, like right there, that puts a big damper. And of course, they're going to have the seating capacity limited. Right. You know, Ohio State's roughly 20%, give or take. They're allowed 20,000 spectators in Ohio Stadium. It seats over 100,000. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, you get a wrestling event, they're only allowed to seat 50 to 100 people. And then, you know, you got to, you know, so your ticket sales are cut. And then you got to put the COVID testing on top of it as an expense. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. it doesn't make it feasible for an independent wrestling promotion under the those kind of guidelines to even, you know, run an event. So it's going to be tough.
And you would know this information being a promoter yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's expensive to run, you know, events as it is, not to add on, you know, you're going to have to add all the sanitizer, all the, you know, the added staff to help sanitize everything in between matches, you know, just everything that's added onto it, the COVID testing, you know, everything that they're adding on, the limited number of fans that could attend, you know, which means less ticket sales. I mean, I don't see anybody running this year at all. And, you know, if they come out with the same rules that's in this paper or in this document, or if the same rules like in Pennsylvania, you know, has to abide by, you know, there may not even be, you know, most of the wrestling promoters running next year either. Right. You know, until all the guidelines go away, you know, and all the stuff that we have to abide by and this, you know, this pandemic's gone.
It's, you know, it's disheartening. It is. And, you know, for those states that are able to run wrestling, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But at what cost? I mean, and your gate's got to definitely be down because of restrictions. So, you know, in Ohio, you know, what can I say? I mean, we want wrestling back. I mean, everybody wants wrestling back in Ohio.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm looking at the duration section here. It says this order shall be effective at 12 a.m. August 1st, 2020, and remain in full force and effect until the state of emergency declared by the governor no longer exists, or until the director of the Ohio Department of Health rescinds and modifies the order, whichever occurs sooner. Sure. And, you know, there's no timeline on when that's, you know, nobody knows when that's going to be.
There's no end in sight. I mean,
yeah, nope.
It could be 6 months. It could be 2 years.
Yep. Yep.
That's the scary part.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So like I said, not good news for Ohio. I mean, I get it. Like you said, I get it. They're trying to, you know, think of the greater good and try to, you know, put a cap on this pandemic and try to control it as much as they can. But, you know, it's hurting a lot of people in the process.
It is. It is. Not just the wrestlers, but, you know, of course, the promoters. Mm-hmm. And basically everybody who's involved in the pro wrestling business. I mean,
yep.
You know, I mean, a lot of us, it's just a little extra cash. But you know, it's kind of a little extra cash that we liked.
Right.
And now it's been taken away from us. And for some of us, it's just the sheer joy of doing what we're doing. And it's disheartening for everybody. It really is. I mean, I miss getting out there and asking if somebody wants to choke slam JR, you know, if it's, even though Matt Taylor's done it, there's bigger guys that can choke slam him. And one of these days I'm going to do it myself. I promise you, when this gets back, I'm going to choke slam JR somehow.
There you go.
But in the meantime, you know, if we just try to toe the line, quit fighting the government and try to stem the spread, that's going to be the biggest boon to this industry, is trying to help slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
So that things get back to normal.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Donnie's pretty much laid it all on the line there. I mean, like I said, him being a promoter, mm-hmm. Promoters all over the state are feeling the same way. It's like, you know, we feel powerless. There's nothing we can do. There's talent out there that's not working. There's shows that are not being put on. And people love to watch pro wrestling. I mean,
yep.
It's entertainment. I've loved watching pro wrestling since I was a kid.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. Like I said, I get it, but it's a shame. It's kind of a Debbie Downer situation, but, you know, what can you do?
And it is. And unfortunately, a lot of these indie promoters don't have the backing like WWE,
right.
Impact, AEW. Mm-hmm. You know, the big names, ROH is another one. You know, these guys have backing to where they can run shows. Is it weird for the wrestlers without any audience? Absolutely. And it's really strange because you can hear everything going on in the ring without an audience there.
Yep.
But they're doing their best to entertain us.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I give them credit for that for sure.
But you know what? I love just to sit down and watch an indie show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you can sit right there. And I've been to WWE shows. I went to it was back when it was a WWF and I still lived in Florida. And I was up in the nosebleed seats because that's all I could afford. You know? I see a little dot of a ring, you know. It's like a WCW show the same way. All I can see, I have to use binoculars to see what's going on. You know? the closest I've come is an Impact show, and I was like five rows from the front, which was cool because I could see.
Right, yep.
But sitting up front in the first couple of rows at an indie show, nothing beats that, man. You get to see all the action, what's going on.
Yep, you get in on the interaction part of it.
You know, sometimes you get hit by sweat. I mean,
there
was at an FGW show, we usually get ringside seats, and they had I don't remember the match, but there was a lot of blood involved. And
I would guess Hooks was probably involved in that one.
Hooks was involved in it, but I think it was Matt Brannigan that was bleeding at the time, and his blood hit my wife Chris's glasses. it was kind of unnerving, but
right.
In the same time, you know, it was right there in your face, you know, and that's what a lot of true wrestling fans miss, is that in your face thing. I mean, watching it on TV is great. I grew up watching it on TV, and you know, the nice thing about TV is you don't have a bad seat.
Yep.
But seeing it live is something completely different. You don't hear the commentary, for first of all, which kind of unnerved me the first time I went to a live event, because I'm used to hearing Tony Schiavone or whoever call the action, and it's like there's nobody in my ear calling the action. I'm just watching this.
All right.
But I miss that, and I don't know, a lot of people miss that, and all we can do is just keep moving forward and hope this ends sooner rather than later so we can get back to what we love.
Yep, absolutely. And, like I said, I didn't want to harp on it too much. I just wanted to go through the list kind of quick, and I hope it wasn't boring for everybody. This legal mumbo-jumbo stuff, you know, kind of boring sometimes. But, you know, we gotta abide by it, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, you know, in the meantime, we're trying to line up some more guests on both the horror and wrestling side, and I just pretty much confirmed another indie wrestler for an upcoming show, so that's exciting. Waiting to hear from a couple more, and you know, hopefully we can get this get some wrestlers on here again, and we can talk about the good times and.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff planned. You know, we got the wrestlers coming on, and we got Mike Newsom's coming back on. We're going to talk about home haunts with him because he had a successful home haunt there for a while.
Yeah. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, everybody, and just try to help us slow down this COVID so we can get back to wrestling and all aspects of it and all the fun and the entertainment. Donnie, sure. Any last comments?
No, I just want to thank everybody for, you know, checking us out, listening to us, stay with us. And, you know, if you can, you know, give us a rating on iTunes or whatever platform you're on, and, you know, give us a good, you know, recommendation, or even if it's a bad recommendation, we appreciate that too, so we can learn from it.
Right.
And, we appreciate everybody, hanging in there with us while we're doing this rebranding and restructuring of everything.
Absolutely. Thanks everybody for that. Exciting things coming up for not only New Ohio Wrestling, but Wrestle Horror in the future. Just keep following us, liking us. You know, the emails, we've shot out the emails before. Shoot us an email with any, you know, criticisms, compliments. We love compliments, but we'll take criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrestlehorror@gmail.com.
Yep.
or you can email me, meathookjim@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And Donnie.
Just DonnieHoover@gmail.com. Easy.
There you go. You've got all the email addresses you need. If you don't want to put it out publicly, shoot it to us privately. We will listen to you and do our best to accommodate you and take your criticisms. So wrestling fans, horror fans, we're all in this together. Let's just get through this as quickly as we can. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I'm Meat Hook Jim Millspaugh, Donnie Hoover, promoter for New Ohio Wrestling. We are the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.